How's everybody doing this morning? All right, let's hop into this. But before I get started, first I want to say thank you, Pastor and Miss Elizabeth, for the opportunity that you've given me to share my story, to share some encouraging words with you this morning. And it is a privilege and an honor to be here in your presence. I'm going to start with, I have to make it big, so I guess I didn't bring my glasses today. I left them on the truck. Imagine that. If I could title this today, the title would be, When God Shows Up, Even When We Don't. Because how many of you have gone through life, have gone through situations that you're like, God, are you even there? Are you listening? Are you hearing me? Well, through my story and through my testimony, you're going to see a lot of times where I questioned if God was actually there. Now, before we get started, I want to pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for allowing this opportunity, God. Lord, I pray that you give me the words. I'm just the vessel, God. It's all about you. This is for your glory, Lord, and your honor. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today, that they need to hear these words. They need to hear it. That they hear it, and Lord, they make some very important decisions in their life. And God, we thank you and we honor you. Amen. I'm certain that a lot of us have felt certain parts in the situations in lives that has pushed us so far outside of God's sight. Or so far outside of God's grace. I remember one time, Mom, she had asked me, she's like, because I was living in Dallas, she'd asked me to come home. And at that time, I had felt so far out of God's grace. As I'm driving home, back home, I don't even look in the rearview mirror. Because, not because I was speeding or something like watching for cops or anything. It's because I didn't want to look at myself. Because I had fallen so far from God's grace. And there are times where a lot of us feel that way. Through my testimony and through my struggles and through the storms of life that I have experienced, have made me feel that I was so far from God that I couldn't even come back. But I'm going to unpack this today, and I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures, Romans and Psalms, and we will see and we will unpack it all today. And you will see that there is times in our lives, as much as we believe God has given up on us, in Romans and Psalms, it shows us he ain't gone nowhere. We might have gone somewhere, but he hasn't left. He's always there, always guiding us, always there with us. If you don't have your Bible with you, we're going to have it on the screen. But Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's some good news, right? Because let's sum that up. That means nothing can separate us from God's love. We may feel it. We may believe it like it says. We may believe that. But nothing separates us. If we look at Psalms 139, 7 through 10. I love this scripture. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Circle that. Where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, whoo, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. That means at the lowest of lows, he's still there. He's not going nowhere. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Circle that right there. That means no matter what, I could be low, I can be far, I can be on the other side of the country like I have been, and he's still there. Right? Glory. Clap your hands if you love them. Yes. I'm going to give you guys a little backstory because I figure I should start from the top. I'm going to give you guys a little backstory. It's so ironic that Stacy's here because she's never heard any of this. So, I grew up in a home, and I might get emotional. It's all right. I grew up in a home that was broken, reeked of dysfunction. My mother, who Pastor shared with you guys, passed away in 2021. I miss her dearly. My mother was in a marriage with my brother, we're half brothers, so with my brother's father. And she went through so much abuse. He was been in and out of prison his whole life. He was a horrible person. But my mother was abused mentally, physically. And then when she married my father, my biological father, she thought, I dealt with the worst. Now, this is going to be my turning point. My father was a truck driver. And he was always on the road. And when he was home, it was like he wasn't home. He spent more time on the road than he did home. Ironic, but that is not why I went in a truck. And Dad would always spend more money on the road than he made. I'm not defending Dad, but if you've ever been to Iowa 80 truck stop, you could go broke in there. I'm just saying. There ain't a truck stop that I don't think I can't live with something without. That's all I'm saying. But it was hard. My mother was like a single parent in a marriage. Dad was always gone. He wasn't there. And Mom did the best she could. She had a 15-year-old, my brother. We're 10 years apart. I was about 5 at the time. And things were hard. Well, my dad decided in his travels that he would start a new life with somebody else. And he decided he would leave my mother. And I remember at a young age, standing on that porch by my mother's side, when that sheriff walks up to the door and hands her a letter, and it says D-I-V-O-R-C-E. And things changed for us. But the same woman that had to deal with that was also the same woman that took her family and did the best she could. Because I know one thing. My mother, at a very young age, grasped a hold to something that changed her life. And Mom, let me tell you, you talk about faith of a mustard seed. She had it. Mom had me in church, and we would be in church, and to see everything that she was going through, and she still raised her hands in worship. The world could be putting her through torment, but in the presence of God, Mom raised her hands. That is so important. I've seen that in my life. Now, when Dad had left us, it was just me and Mom. Me and Mom for some years. I got used to that. You know, Mom had made some harsh choices, some harsh decisions, some mistakes. Most parents do. Nobody's perfect, unless you're Pastor Randy or Jesus. Miss Elizabeth said no. But let me just say this, because we're about to go into a deep part. Let me just say this first. I am not sharing this part of my story to come down on my mother in any way. I loved my mother. I still love my mother. But my mother made some mistakes, okay? So I just want to be clear that I am not trying to bury my mother or talk harsh about her. Thank you. Pray for me. Some of you are praying already. I was about 10 years old. And I'm going to kind of move a little fast because I got a lot to unpack. So when I was about 10 years old, I was a little fella. I'm big now, but I was little back then. When I was about 10 years old, Mom was dating this guy. We lived in Dallas at the apartments. Mom was dating the apartment manager. He was a big muscle dude, and probably about 6'2", big dude. And I was little, like I said. And he didn't really care for me. He would try to take my mother away from me a lot, separate us. So he decided one night, he was just going to have his way with me. And he decided to beat the mess out of me. And he did it in parts. My mother was in the living room. I think I've shared some of this with you, Tamara. But my mother was in the living room, crying. I could hear her crying. He would come in there, slap me, punch me, push me, spit on me, tell me I was worthless, and I was not worth anything, and just shouldn't even exist. And I sat there praying for it to be over. Finally, he left, And my mom's in the living room, and I didn't know anything else to do. I just fell at her lap. And I said, why would you let him do that to me? And she's like, I'm so sorry. I promise you it'll never happen again. She held that promise. And mom moved us out of there, and we moved out to Quinlan. Well, we lived in West Oregon. But I'm not going to lie to you guys. I had so much anger and so much resentment towards my mother, even after she passed away. And that has been the struggle. And I've spent time in counseling because that was a hard thing to deal with. 10 years old. And not only that, I didn't think God was there. I didn't think he was there. And I was in Sunday school. I went to children's church. I went to Wednesday night classes. I think God loves you. God's always there. I didn't believe he was there that night. I questioned it. I didn't believe it. I thought God had just absolutely given up on me. Just didn't care anymore. When I was around 12, after that situation, we had moved to, like I said, we moved to West Tawakoni. We actually moved into town. We moved into Quinlan. And my mom had met my stepdad. And they remarried. She got remarried. They didn't remarry because she just met him. But it's a little weird. But we had moved to Wills Point when they got married in 1994. And hold on. Isn't this cute, y'all? I asked Dylan for a water, little Lord's Supper thing of water. This is what you call a budget. I'm sorry. Oh, see, I wasn't going to do it because I don't want Chris to get depressed. But I will, since you brought it up. How about them Cowboys? Too soon? Don't worry, the Giants are sitting watching the game with y'all. It's okay. Hey. Close. Little Giant. Yeah, close. Oh, now we're getting, we're in church, gentlemen. We're in church. Kinda. All right, I digress. Okay. But thank you for the water. I do appreciate your little Lord's Supper thing of water. Money's tight. All right. So we moved to Wills Point, and now we were always in church. That was a very structured home. My stepdad was 20-year military, retired MP. He was hardcore. He was about 5'5", but he was... My bad. He was solid. And we were in church Sunday, Wednesday. Actually, anytime that the doors were open, we were there. If the preacher was going to wash the windows on Saturday, we were going to sit in our pew and watch him do it. That's how we were in church. And my dad's rule was, if you try to say, oh, I'm sick, I can't go to church, throw up and prove it. And if you did throw up, now don't you feel better? Now let's go to church. So you were going either way. But we were in church. Now, with that structure and that he had that perfectionist attitude. I did not care for it at all. So I began to act out. I began to go through, have anger bouts, and depression really set in for me. Because the whole father thing was hard for me. Because at a very young age, mine left. And I didn't have a male figure in my life for the course of almost 10 years. So I struggled with that. You know, mom had to be mom, dad, uncle, everything. Like, she was it. She was the whole show. And that was hard for her as well. So to have a male figure come in and try to be that guy, that was hard for me to deal with. And so I started acting out. And when I graduated high school from Wills Point, I'm not bragging, it's just part of my testimony. I graduated from Wills Point. I wanted to get as far away from the little city of Wills Point and my parents. I wanted to get as far away as I could. So I went out to Dallas, where there was no shelter. There was no, you do this, when we tell you to do this, we tell you how to do it, how high you have to jump. I didn't have none of that. So I went to Dallas, got my first apartment when I was 18 years old. And I told God, listen up. This is my show. I don't want you in it. You didn't have my back then. You ain't got it now. You stay on your side. I'm going to stay on my side. You don't cross my world. This is my side. That's your side. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I felt that God gave up on me. I felt that when I needed him the most, the hurt, the anger, the depression, the struggles, the storms, he didn't care. That was how I felt. But how many of you know that even in the times that we step away from God, he never steps away from us? As far as I thought he was. Just like it says in Romans, there's nothing that can separate him from us. Glory. So I began to drink and do drugs and absolutely do whatever I wanted to do. I didn't have my mama. I didn't have my dad. I had nobody tell me what to do. I was above that. But how many of you know that God can use something so tragic to bring you back in and to show you, I'm God. I'm here. I never left you. You left me. Well, 2009, God did just that thing. My stepdad passed away in 2009. He had got injured and he passed away in his sleep. That's the way I want to go. But he had a heart attack. He had heart problems we didn't really know about. And he passed away on Good Friday. How ironic, right? I don't believe in irony, though, so we're not going to say that. So, but God, right? So, he passed away. Man, it really, you know, and the one person that you despise the most, you care so much about. Because it hit me really hard when Dad passed away. I'm a pretty sensitive person anyway, so it really, I struggled with it. But is what it did also to me, because of my hurt, because of my struggle with it, I bumped up the partying, I bumped up the drinking, shutting down bars, putting people to bed is what we used to say, closing them down. And I was very well doing it. And I remember one day I was at a, it was a friend of mine, but they were also, we were smoking and drinking and everything. And I'm sitting there in the room by myself, hungover from the night before, probably just a mess, more of a mess than when you found me. But God, I turn the TV on. What do you think's on that television? Daystar Network. Like, hey, told you. I tried to turn it off. Turned it on. Won't turn off. Can't turn the channel. I'm beating the remote. Can't turn it off. Can't turn it off. Can't turn the channel. Now, I'm going to step outside the story a little bit. Let me give you a background of my stepdad. He was a Southern gospel singer. I grew up with the Cathedrals. I grew up on the Isaacs and the Crab family and the Gaithers and all that wonderful Southern gospel things you grow up with. Going, we did homecomings, all night homecomings. Those people, you think they're older, they can't sing forever, but they can. That's what I grew up on. So what do you think is on this TV? The Crab family. And Jason Crab is tearing it up. Like he does. And then my phone is literally, I'm on the couch, the phone is sitting right here in front of me. It rings. Guess who? Mama. Pick up the phone. Hey, what's up? Matt, I want you to go to church with me. It's the first time I'm going back since James passed away. It's the church that we were going to. She goes, it's been 2 weeks since he passed. She goes, that's the first time I'm going back. I don't want to go by myself. Your brother won't go. I said, well, guess what, Mama? I don't want to go either. She begged me, please go with me. I said, okay, under my conditions. How many of you know you don't put a condition on God? It won't work now. It won't work tomorrow. And guess what? It didn't work then. I said, I'm taking my truck. So if I want to leave, I can leave. So we get there. We get there and we walk in. I'm hungover, y'all. I reek of alcohol. I'm probably didn't even have clean clothes on. But we walked in there. Singing is every part of this story. I can't tell you what the first song was or what the first note that was sang was. Because as soon as we got to our seat, I lost it. I'm talking ugly cry. Like, can't catch my breath. Like tearing up a box of Kleenex kind of cry. I don't know why. Well, I do now, but. I mean, I was just bawling. I sat down, I said, I'm out of here. Miss Elizabeth, my mama grabbed a hold of my knee. And she said, "You are not going anywhere until you get some things right today." Y'all, but God. Things started happening to me that I couldn't even control. Walking around Walmart, got a phone call. Yeah, this is TB Slass, School of Liberal Arts and Science. We'd like to offer you a job. You're who? We're Trinity Basin Preparatory School. We also have the School of Liberal Arts and Science. We're a charter school. Oh, that's good to know. Nice. How are you? Yeah, we'd like you to come in and talk to us. Okay, I'll be there. I did not apply for that job. I didn't even know who these people were. I'm at Walmart, minding my own business. Right. And I get a $40,000 a year job that I didn't apply for. Then, I had no way to get there. Didn't have a car at that time. My buddy calls me, "Hey, I've got this new car. I don't want it. All you got to do is take the payments. It's yours." All right, well, we solved that problem. God just starts showing up. Just showing up. Showing me, "Hey, I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere." So you know what? I was like, okay, this is too weird. I'm going to start looking some stuff up. So I'm at my really nice job in my own office. And never had an office job before. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to look at the Crab family. I'm going to see what this is about. And I was like, okay, Jason Crabb, because they start touring together, and Jason was doing his own thing. And Jason Crabb was going to be at Pathway of Life Church. I remember the date. June the 25th, 2010. And I said, you know what? I'm going to look in this church. And I went to their website. Had everything going on. They had a lot going on in that church. I said, you know what? I'm going to take this a little step further. I'm going to go to that church. I'm not going to wait for Jason. I'm going to go to that church. I want to see what this is about. And I went on July. It was the weekend of July the 4th. And they were just having a worship service, like celebration Sunday for 4th of July. And, and the funny thing is, I had long hair. Y'all don't believe this, but I had long hair down to my middle of my back. Tattoos. Probably had a sleeveless shirt on that day. I don't know. I walk in, and I love this lady to this day. I walk into this church, and Miss Pat didn't care what I had on, no matter what. She wrapped me up, hugged me, and said, "I'm so glad you're here." "You don't even know me, lady." "And why are we touching?" I guess it's that kind of church. So I go to church, and everybody's so wonderful and so great. And it's a big church. We call it the little big church because it's a big church, but all the ministries work so close together that... I went there for 2 weeks before Jason Crabb came. I went, well, I said, "I'm coming back Wednesday night. I'm coming back Sunday morning, Sunday night. I was in church again. Pastor, one Sunday morning, pastor said, and I, oh man, when preachers do this, it's like they know you're there. Pastor said, "There's somebody here today. You did it your way." Now it's time to do it his way. He knows I'm here. I walk down that aisle. As I'm walking, I just threw my hands up. Now, why would I do that? This is a sign of surrender. Y'all, at this point, I had nothing left. I was empty. Nothing left. All I could do was just throw my hands up. And when I walked down that aisle, I'm going to come off the stage if that's all right. I walked down that aisle, and I'm just standing here. And whenever I came to this spot, my hands in the air, Brother Jose met me, and he led me in the sinner's prayer. And at that moment, y'all, I felt something. Now, I played church as a kid. I did that. Not now. This was as real as it could be. I was empty inside. I had my hands up. I said the prayer with him, rededicated my life back to God. And Tamara, as soon as I said amen, it literally felt. It literally felt like somebody just reached out of heaven and just grabbed every ounce of weight, every ounce of things that I was carrying on my back. Because I felt like I was carrying the world on my shoulders. And I had nothing left to give. And it's like God just reached down and grabbed it off of me. And it was a peace that I can't even explain until this day. I've never experienced that kind of peace in my life. I've never experienced that calming feeling that I felt that day. And you know, when I said, when Dad left, things began to change for us? Well, when I said that amen, and I rededicated my life to God, things began to change for me that day. I got into ministry. I got into children's ministry. I did that for 8 years. I got into youth ministry. I did youth camps, children's camps. You know what? I didn't just stick my toes in the water. I cannonballed it. I said, you know what? I'm going to give it everything I got. I made myself available. I spent more time in that church. I would even clean the church. I would go up there on a Saturday. I'd vacuum the floors, clean the toilets, vacuum the sanctuary. I told you, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this wholeheartedly. God, you got me. I'm here. Let's do it. I even got involved in the music ministry. They asked me to go join another part of the ministry, but I still did it. They said, you know what, Matt, our media ministry, which is way up in the booth on the second floor, they really need some help. So, you, Pastor Kelly, you don't want me to be in the choir no more? I can sing real low. Nope, we want you to help us out in that department. But I did it because I wanted to be involved. Now, this is how serious this really is. I gave up. I did cold turkey. I know you were talking about addiction earlier, and it is hard to come out of that. And I'm praying for you, Richard. You're in my prayers, brother. And I'm excited about what you're going to do with that ministry. God's going to use you in a mighty way. But I quit cold turkey. I got rid of all my bar friends. Anybody that I ran with before, deleted them. They're gone. Disconnected. My people was my church. That's the only people I had on my Facebook. That's it. Well, back then it was like MySpace, but before Facebook became cool. But I did that. You know, and I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son. We all know that story, right? We've heard it. The prodigal son gets his inheritance, and he goes out and shows out. Got all the friends he can afford. Parties it up, does what he wants to do. But what happens at the end of that story? He comes back, right? That father doesn't ridicule him. That father doesn't say, "I told you so." He walked down to the gate. He said, "I've been waiting for you. Come back, I'm here. Get the fatted calf. Bring the best." That's the way God is with us. God never left us. He wants us to have the best. We don't always think that, but he does. I hope this is blessing somebody. There will be times in our life where we think God has given up on us, or that we have nothing else and we just want to give up. Let me share some trucking stories for you. Because let me tell you, and a lot of the men here know what I've been through. You talk about, because you know, the Bible says, "I will give you life and I will give it to you more abundantly." There's none of this. There's hills, there's valleys. Well, I was abundantly dealing with it. They disqualified me. I had some medical problems. Wanted to give up. I was like, "I'm home." They done kicked me out of driving school. Said I couldn't be there. I'm diabetic. I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't care. I didn't care about my health. I was actually checking out. I'd actually told my cousin-in-law, Judith. She's like, "Well, how's your health?" I don't care. I said, "I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not taking the medicine." I said, "I'm tired. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of dealing with this. Going paycheck to paycheck. Every month, they want more money. I'm tired, Judith. I'm tired. I'm just tired. If I go," had a good run. I was checking out, y'all. Because after my mom died, this is not even in my notes. You're getting this one for free. When mom passed away, I gave up. I gave up. My whole body, because I had to have surgery on my eye, and they actually postponed my surgery. I went in to do, because you know, you have to get a physical and make sure you're clear to be on the operating table and all that. They went in, they did all my blood work, and they said, "We can't clear you. Your pancreas is swollen. I was sick. They said, "Every organ in your body is inflamed. Your body's fighting you back." And I didn't care. My mom was gone. My dad, gone. Didn't care. Year later, brother, gone. No family. Had nothing. No one to turn to. I did not care. So I got into trucking. Just decided one day, I woke up, I said, you know what? I saw Stephen's truck, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to go do that. Boy, was I in for a rude awakening. Then I get here, and I get encouraged even more. We're going to do this trucking thing, Matt. You're going to be a super trucker, or however he talks. We're going to do it. But let me tell you guys, like, I wanted to give up. When they kicked me out and they said, hey, you got some stuff you got to take care of. And I was home. Now, if you know anything about trucking, we don't like to be home. Because what is not happening if I'm at home, Pastor? That's right. So I'm sent home. They send me home. And I'm just depressed. I called Pastor on the phone. I said, I'm done. It's over. Pastor said, Matt, it's a temporary DQ. They ain't counted you out of the game yet. You still got to, in poker they say a chip in a chair. As long as you got a chip in a chair, you're in it. I learned that in Vegas, by the way. But he said, you're still in the game. You still got one more foot in the game. You ain't done yet. Thank you for that, by the way. I'm actually very, like, eternally indebted to you. Y'all are just amazing people. Y'all have an amazing pastors, by the way. Let's hear it for them. They really are. They love people. They have a heart for people. They had a heart for this old country boy. And they have been my biggest support. But through trucking, I wanted to give up at that point. But you know what? I persevered. Stayed to the course. And at the end, we're going to tie it all together. But I stayed to the course. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. We're going to go all the way. Well, guess what? I'm on a truck. I got hired with my first company, other than the one I got trained through. So I'm very excited about that. And let me tell you, God has blessed me. God has showed me, Matt, when you want to quit, I'm still going to show up. When you're not there, I'm still gonna show up. When you want to give up, I'm not gonna let you do it. Glory. I even thought to myself, I said, I'm walking faithful in God. I'm walking faithful. And I'm losing my house. I'm losing my vehicle. I had to quit my job. Where are you, God? Let's look at Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, because I love what Job did here. Pastor, you probably know it. Job's wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Are you still listening? Are you still letting these things happen to you? Here's what she said. She wanted Job to give up. She said, curse God and die. It'll be over, Job. Curse him. Give up on him. It's over. You don't have to deal with this anymore. Curse God and die. But what did Job, I love his reply, because this is faithfulness to the core. Job said, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good? Oh, I love this. Shall we accept good from God and not think that we don't have to deal with trouble? But what'd they say in Ezekiel, Pastor? They got double for their trouble, right? Ruth and got double for their trouble. They had to go do something they didn't want to do. They had to go live a lifestyle they didn't want to do. But what happened? God elevated them, right? Put them in the kingdom. They were getting fed the best food. They were getting taken care of. God took care of them. Yeah, it was bad what y'all had to go through. You had to go through this horrible land. You had to be slaves and you had to be servants. God elevated them. God took care of them. God has done the same thing for me in my life. I had some trouble. God said, hey, double for your trouble, Matt. Not going to brag. But he's taking care of me. I lost my house in the process. God's got me in a company that puts me in a hotel every time I come home. I got a new home. It's a hotel room, but it's a nice one. I got food. I got money. Oh, and my beautiful lady done set me up with a car. Hello, Matt. I'm still here. Thank you, baby, by the way. Where would we be without a woman in our life, gentlemen? A good woman, right? I got me a good one. Bless the Lord, I got a good one. In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. He did not sin. I know you lost it, and I know it hurts, but you can't allow what you lost. Oh, I love this. You can't allow what you lost to determine your future. We have a thing in trucking about our following distance. It says, what is in your past does not matter to you. It's in your past. What is behind you is in your past. What's in front of you is your future. We went to a kids camp. I'll never forget this. One of the director of that camp, they did like a little leadership deal while the kids were out doing whatever they were doing. They had this little leadership meeting. And the first thing she said, I've never forgotten this. She said, I am so glad that God did not determine my future based on my past. Because if he did, how many of us would still be back there? If God looked at the drugs, if God looked at the alcohol, if God looked at the choices, if God looked at everything you were doing then, why would he do what he's doing for you now? Glory. Clap your hands if you love him. Yes. I know I'm probably over time, but Pastor said I had 3 hours because the Cowboys weren't playing today. So, ding. 1 point for the Giants. Might be the only point we get, but that's the point. No, sir. They're watching the games with y'all. All right. Lost my place. That's all right. If your faithfulness is conditional, now remember what I said about that conditional, then guess what? You're limiting what God will do in your life. He sees your heart. Yes, Lord. He sees your heart. And just maybe, a part of the reason he is allowing you, oh, I love this, the reason he is allowing you to experience this is because if you don't experience this, then you're not going to be ready for that. That's right. Right? If you don't experience this, then it's going to let you see your own heart towards him. Because if God doesn't give you storms, excuse me. If God doesn't give you storms and you don't experience some hard times, then guess what? You're going to know what your heart is towards him. It can be hardened. It can be labored, right? Amen. Let's take a look at Galatians 5:22. I'm sorry, I like to use a lot of scripture. I'm just that way. That's the kind of preacher I am. Galatians 5:22 through 23. This is good stuff right here, y'all. Y'all getting some really good stuff today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Circle that last part. Against such things there is no law. What does that mean? There's no limit, right? That means all of those fruits of the Spirit, there's no limit. There's no law. Okay? Here's some good news. Trusting God gives you access. That means we got to be faithful, right? We got to rely on Him. Trusting God gives you access to the fruit of the Spirit. And that access strengthens you to press through your situation, to tame your emotions in your situation, and the eyesight to see God all throughout your situation. I was in situations in my life, and I didn't see God. But we have access. We have access. That access through the fruit of the Spirit strengthens us. Romans 12:12. It says this. It says, be joyful in hope, patient. I don't know if that says tribulation or affliction. It says affliction. Okay. In affliction. Faithful in prayer. This too shall pass. I love that. It's bad right now. There's afflictions. Tribulations is another version says tribulations. Things we're going through. But our faithfulness and prayer, which is very important. That's what you were talking about, y'all's overnight prayer. I love that, by the way. Faithful in your prayer. When you focus on eternity, it helps you see the temporary for what it is. What happened before is not permanent. What happened before was just a piece. Temporary, right? All that we do and all that we have is for the glory of God. And if God blessed you with it, He is going to guide you on what to do with it. Y'all can tweet that. You can Facebook that. You can have that one for free. If God is going to bless you, He's going to guide you. Right? Psalms? He's guiding you. He's holding your hand. He's holding you fast. Right? He's guiding your hand. So we rejoice because we know, this is the good news right here, y'all. We're wrapping it up. We rejoice because we know that there is something far greater awaiting for us. I'm going through the storm. I'm going through the struggle. But I know because I'm faithful. Because God is faithful to me. There is something greater in us. There is something greater awaiting for us. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Woo! Somebody, if you ain't shouting, you ain't hearing what I just said. I said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. That last part's important, y'all. I have kept the faith. Glory. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also, here's where you guys come in right here, also to all who have longed for his appearing. There is something in store for you guys. We have to be faithful to God. And we can't give up. I wanted to give up, but I couldn't. Right? I want to tell you guys a story. And this is in closing. I want to tell you guys a story about, I don't know if you've ever been there, maybe some of you have vacationed there, but in Paris, France, there's the Louvre Museum. And in the museum, there's a painting. They're going to have it on the screen for you. There's a painting. And that painting is called Checkmate. The devil's on one side. The gentleman's on the other side, got his hand on his head. He's in desperation. And at this museum on this particular day, they were doing like a private tour for these athletes and world champions. And in that group was a world champion chess player. And as they get to this picture, that world champion chess player is just stopping. He's looking at the picture. And the group moves on to the next picture. And as they're looking at that picture, the tour guide notices, they all notice that he's not with the group. And so he comes back to that picture of the checkmate. And he talks to the world chess champion. He says, hey, we noticed that you're not with the group. We've moved along to another picture. Are you gonna join us? And he said, well, you know I'm a world chess champion, right? He's like, I can't stop looking at this picture. And he's like, yeah, it's called Checkmate. It's a rendering of the devil laughing and the guy is lost. He's like, yes, I see that. But he said, as I'm looking at this picture, he said, now, I am a world champion chess player. And I've played all over the world. He goes, yes, I know that. You've told me that. He said, usually a world chess champion can see things that the normal eye maybe couldn't see. And he says, as I'm looking at this picture, he goes, I keep looking at the board. And he said, I can't stop thinking that the king still has one more move. I'm here to tell somebody today, the king still has one more move. In the fullness of time, God sent his son because the king still has one more move. I dare you to declare it today that the king still has one more move. He's got one more move in your marriage. He's got one more move in your finances. The king still has one more move in your kids' lives. It's not over. It's not over. We can't give up. We got to stay faithful to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank y'all for your time.